Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How y'all doing?
Good.
That's a deep Texas greeting. It's okay. You mentioned earlier Life Streams are having a youth camp, youth conference this summer with Life Streams. And you use this word, Life Streams. Life Streams has a number of churches. We have some churches that we work with in the UK. We also have several churches, obviously, in the United States. We also have churches we work with in Uganda, which is a country in Africa. And I've been working with this group of churches in Uganda in a distanced kind of way for a number of years. And it was amazing what they did. It's a place called Wellspring in Uganda. It was a couple hundred churches. They had hospitals, clinics, schools. It was just amazing what they did. And it was all run by Ugandan people. And the main person passed away and went to be with the Lord maybe 4 years ago. And an amazing, wonderful man. And he left his wife, a beautiful woman who I do know named Eve, left her kind of in charge with a number of people around. And I long story, but I just want to emphasize this for certain people in this room who are going to take this on board. Eve has been attempting to run this ministry over the last 2-3 years and has struggled. And several of the men who supported her husband for years, for decades, a number of men who supported her husband have now, I would say the true colors have shown, and they want the ministry, which means basically they want the money and the properties. And these men, believers, who served with her husband, alongside her husband for decades, have made death threats against Eve if she doesn't turn over the ministry, which means the buildings and the money. They've actually threatened this woman's life. Christians. And so what I'm asking some people to do, go ahead and turn the phone off. I'm not going to answer it. Later. So what I would like to do, and there's already been a number of court appearances, and Eve has won every single attempt to take from her and from the good-hearted people what is the Lord's. But there's another thing coming up, another accusation against her. Every accusation has been refuted in courts, but there's still more and more death threats against this woman by believers, born-again, spirit-filled people. It can't be, and it's happening. So this is what I would like to ask us to do, some in this room who feel compelled. Could you take a day in the next week and fast and pray and call on God for heaven's justice, not for the ministry, but for this woman? She has three children, kind of a couple in Canada, one in England, all in school. She is a godly, sweet, tender woman. She's not a bull. She's not this crazy woman out ranting and raving. She is sweet and kind and tender and lovely. And she's a widow. And men with wrong hearts are attempting to grab hold of what is not theirs. It's not hers either, but it's just wrong. In fact, could I have everybody stand with me? I just want to pray for this woman. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the courts of heaven. I thank you for justice in heaven. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you answer prayer. You're close to the tenderhearted. And Father, I remember all the scriptures about the widow and the orphan, that you stand with them in their loss and their brokenness and their hurt, that you stand with them. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would strengthen this woman. Help her, strengthen her, Lord, that she would not fear, she would not quake, she would not have to run for cover because of men who are interested in money. Protect this woman. Protect this woman. Angels of heaven, put a shield around about this woman and her children. Behold the threats against her, Lord, and I ask that you would intervene on her behalf. That you would go before her and make a way where there is no way. Father, I'm not asking for earthly justice. I'm asking for you to involve angelically on this woman's behalf. Properties come and go. But Father, this is wrong. So we stand with Eve. We strengthen her in Jesus' name. Change these men's hearts. Speak to them in the night, Lord, that their accusations and their threats fall to the ground, never to be taken up again. Bless this beautiful woman and the good-hearted people serving with her, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. So I'm simply asking 1, 2, 10, 20 people, just consider taking a day and fasting and praying on her behalf. Does that make sense? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am really emotional this morning. What in the world is going on? Sausage. I do want to continue on in a series in the book of Acts, and everyone said, yes, please, amen. I threatened to do this for the last few months, and we started a couple of weeks ago, and we are on track, baby. We are good. So I want to go back into the book of Acts. We're going to look at chapter 1 a little bit more, chapter 2, and just pray with me. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here. We yield to you. We continue to yield to you. We will always yield to you, that you have your way. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would illuminate the scriptures this morning, that you would highlight heaven's truth to us. We could grab hold of it, Lord, your truth, that it would be a bedrock, a foundation in our very souls, that would anchor us against the wind and the waves that you promised are coming and do come. We thank you for the word of God. Holy Spirit, we thank you for coming. Thank you for remaining. Thank you for filling us. Thank you for not leaving us. Help me this morning communicate your heart. Help us to hear your heart. It would be act and behave and live in the calling for which you've called us. And everyone said, amen and amen. This morning, I actually have some books I want to hand out later to a handful of people. If we could open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 1, is where I want to start. And this morning I want to talk about unity. And when the Lord shows up, just like the song that we sang, when the Lord shows up, everything changes. Thank you, John Block, for what he said earlier. In Acts chapter 1, we're going to start it out with verse 4 and 5. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard this morning. Acts 1, verse 4 and 5. This is, Jesus has gone to the cross, 50 days have passed. It is Pentecost, and the believers have gathered together. They're together, and they're listening to what the Holy Spirit would say. And in Acts 1, 4 through 5, the Bible says this, gathering them together, this is Jesus, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. This is Jesus speaking, which he said, you heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So why were they meeting together? Why were they told to wait? Because it's what Jesus said, wait for the promise. And Jesus had told them earlier, and we mentioned this 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was amazing to even consider this. But he told his disciples, he said, it's better for you if I leave. Because if I leave, I will send the Comforter. I will send Holy Spirit to you. And you'll be far better off with Holy Spirit than with just me. Because he was just one. But he said, the Holy Spirit's going to change everything for you. So they had heard of this. And so now Jesus has gone to the cross. He's resurrected. He's met with them over many days, telling them, instructing them things about the kingdom. And this is one of these events where Jesus, after his resurrection, he's come back to earth and he's encouraging his believers. And he said, now, remember, guys, remember, I told you about the Holy Spirit. And don't go anywhere. Don't go back to fishing. Don't go down to Columbia Mo. Stay right where you're at and wait. Because Holy Spirit is coming. He's going to baptize you, just like you saw John the Baptist do all those physical water baptisms. Don't do anything. Stay until he comes from heaven. We pick it up a couple of verses later. Acts chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. Same chapter, book of Acts. Look at these paper copies Bible in the front row. Look at you guys. Beautiful. That is old school. Got one. Acts chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. Verse 14 says this, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women. Exactly, gender sensitive. Along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Verse 14, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer. They had one mind, they were together, and it doesn't say that they just prayed. They were continually praying, ongoing. They devoted themselves to prayer. Why? Because they were waiting for someone. They were waiting for someone. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. This is now 50 days after Jesus had died on the cross and resurrected. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. Verse 4, and they were all, everybody say all. All. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the crowd came together and were bewildered because each one of them was hearing them speak in his own language. Heaven came, Holy Spirit came, disrupted their beautiful prayer meeting, and the men got filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord for strong men, right? The men got filled. What? I guess the women were just submitting. They were probably there for stuff, taking care of stuff. Lunch, very important, love lunch. The believers, men and women together. Because the promise was, I'm going to pour my Spirit out on all flesh. New day, new administration, new way. They're all together. And when Holy Spirit came, he fell on all of them. And all of them began experiencing supernatural encounter of the Holy Spirit. Game changer, totally different. They'd never seen anything. They'd never even heard of anything like this. And I don't think they were looking at each other like, is that Italian? Because I always, can I do Italian? They were all encountered by the Holy Spirit. They were all plastered, if you will. And if you read further into Acts 2, you'll understand what I mean. They were in their minds, out of their minds, under the power of the Holy Spirit, encountering him, getting changed from the inside out. But the thing was that I want to highlight this morning, it wasn't just 9 different prayer groups together around the city. There was a group of people, it says 120 earlier, that had gathered in the upper room. 120 believers were all together in mind, all together in purpose. And I believe with all of my heart, that was the fertile ground that heaven was waiting for. Not Peter, big man Peter, gotten large and in charge Peter. We'll just anoint him because he's clearly the one. All of them were submitting, loving, pursuing, praying, on their knees, sitting down, standing. They were together in one room, in unity in one room. So potent, so powerful, and that, I believe, is what heaven was waiting for. A group of people who aren't worried about who has a badge, who has a title, who gets to speak. Are you interested in receiving heaven on earth? And I'm more concerned about you than I am me. I'm concerned about you being blessed, not just me. They were all together in one place. The Bible says they're in one mind. That is a miracle. 120 people on the same page in the same moment, men and women. Some of these people were natural leaders. Some of them were not. They're natural followers. Holy Spirit fell on them, one and the same. Some of them were impetuous. Just run out of the room screaming, I'll do something. I have no idea what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do something. Some of them were contemplative, introverts, quiet by nature. They're all speaking in tongues because the Holy Spirit is no respecter of person. Does it make any difference what your personality is? You're His. Whether you're large and in charge, and we know who you are, because we hear you, we see you, and we love you. Some were naturally selfish up to this point. Some of them were naturally sacrificial. Holy Spirit fell on all of them. Some of them, 120, still had issues when Holy Spirit fell on them. They weren't perfect and cleaned up. Holy Spirit fell on them because they were hungry for Him. They wanted Jesus. They wanted heaven. What was their common thing? Not that they were the brightest, not that they were the university Bible graduates. They simply were hungry for heaven. Lord, I want to wait for the promise of what You promised. It was 50 days after many of them, if not most of them, were denying they even knew Jesus. It says at the cross was John, one of the 11 that was left, was there with some women, again, as the Bible describes them. Women stood at the cross while the men were cowering and running in fear for their lives. But 50 days later, it's a little different. Because the night, and you will remember this, some of you will know your Bible a little bit. Remember, even at the Last Supper, these same 12 at that moment, same 12 people were arguing amongst themselves, who's the greatest? The same group. John, I'm a lot better than you are. Stephen, John, I am better than you. Maybe not up to Stephen's capabilities. They're arguing at the Last Supper who's great and who's not. These same people 50 days later have left all that. I'm not worried about if I'm great. I just want Jesus. I just want power. I just want heaven. The end of themselves, Lord, I recognize now I need You. I can't do it on my own. They're in one place, in one heart, in one mind, at one time. It's a miracle, 120 human beings in one place, in one heart, in one mind. It's impossible. It's a miracle. But it's the miracle of unity. It's the power of unity. It's the blessing of unity. Different personalities, all different giftings, all different opinions. I guarantee you, I don't know how many people are in the room today, 200 people, let's just say. I'll bet you there's probably at least 60 different opinions on any number of things. Cece, you're probably right. But your husband disagrees. Everybody's got different opinions, different thoughts. This is how it should be. This is how he's going to come. They all have different ambitions. They have different hopes, different dreams, different challenges, different problems, different callings. It's unbelievable, but Holy Spirit fell on a people who had chosen, I am for you and I'm for us. I'm not worried about me anymore. I just want Jesus. I just want heaven. I don't care who gets the credit. I just want heaven. It's a miracle. And yet, this is still exactly what Jesus wants today. And I believe this with all of my heart, and forgive me if this is offensive. I think heaven is still waiting to find people on earth now in our day who are more concerned about heaven than what happens to me. I think heaven's still waiting because he wants to pour out his spirit on flesh that is not interested about me, but interested in his purposes. But they were just people like us. They all had ambitions, they had wants, they had challenges. And Psalm 133, the Bible says this, it's one of my favorite psalms, I know I have a few. Psalm 133, it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers, gender neutral, the people of God, to dwell together in unity. I love what it says, dwell together. It doesn't say come together in a meeting on Sunday. It doesn't say all you Kansas City supporters, get together. Yeah, you're all in common now. It's dwelling together, living together, experiencing life together. Because honestly, that's when I get annoyed with you. And that's when you look at my life and you get annoyed with me. Sunday, we look great for the most part. But it's when we're experiencing life together and I see your attitude and you see my attitude. You see my anger flare up. You see my selfishness flare up. But the Bible says this, how good and how pleasant it is for the people of God to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil. Let me just stop there, just a quick illustration. There's many people in this room who are married. Hands up if you're brave enough. Yeah, your daughters, yeah, put your hand up. I saw that elbow. Mom, raise your hand, you're married. Okay, once more, because I was focused over here at the Haley family. Who's married and willing to admit it? Rick, good call, good call. Remember back just for a second, just walk down memory lane. Remember when you were dating? To your wife or husband. There's just this propensity, this thing when people are dating to always put their best foot forward, to open the door, to say yes, please, and thank you, just to appreciate this amazing man that you're with. He probably had hair then, way overrated. But there's just that thing that most every married couple that's been married 5, 10, 15, 20 years. You know, I have a joke. No, I don't have time. I do, I have time. Okay, this is for maybe slightly older people. Just slightly, more seasoned people. Back in the day, you remember pickup trucks? And they had the one seat, you know, they call it a bench, I think, front bench seat. So this guy was following a car. And he looked, this guy looked at the truck in front of him. He said, that truck's just like ours, honey. He said, yes, it is. And he said, look, what do you see in that truck in front of us? She's like, it's red. He's like, no, sweetheart, look how they are. And so the wife's like, I don't get it. He said, sweetheart, look, remember when we used to do that? She's like, I am so lost, sweetheart. What are you talking about? Look at the truck. Look how they're sitting. She's like, what? They're not doing crazy stuff? She said, no, sweetheart, look. They're sitting together right next to each other. And the wife said, oh. Yeah, I remember when we used to do that. We were so in love, and sweetheart, you were so wonderful. Remember, you're right, honey. Remember when we used to do that? Why can't we sit like that? And the man looked at his wife and he said, I haven't moved. It's a pickup bench seat truck joke. It's an old one. I love that joke. Yeah, no. And it's remember, 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 Jesus. I want to be scooted over right next to you. I want to be right next to you in life. Always right next to you, Jesus. If I've scooted over, Jesus, forgive me. I want to scoot right back. I want to be right there with you, King Jesus. Hearing just the most gentle whisper from your lips. Just a finger moving that communicates something, or just a gentle touch. Jesus, I want to be one with you. It's brothers dwelling together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down from the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. Like, why did he command his blessing? Because it was people in heart together. It's easy to say, oh, I'm so close to King Jesus because he's invisible. You can't see him. But what about this man? What about that man? What about that man with all their irritating personality things? And we all know them. Can I live in unity with you, Stephen? Joseph, can I live in unity with you? Greg, can I live in unity with you? That is where the Lord commands his blessing. It's people who choose to live together in unity. How am I doing? How do you get like that? How do I live together with people in one heart and one mind? Well, these people, they were pursuing somebody, someone named Jesus. And I believe that, yes, it started in prayer, and I'm not, you know, dismissing or advocating, oh, we need to have 24/7 prayer. Yes, please. But I find it's a heart issue, not just a going to a meeting issue. Because people have challenges, people have personalities, people have problems. Can I love you anyway? Can I experience you and your personality anyway? Why? Because Jesus. And when Holy Spirit wants to come and he wants to fill, and I believe it with all my heart, when Holy Spirit finds people living in unity with one another, he says, I'll join that. I'll throw in with that. I'll bring heaven's blessing in with that. But if there's already chaos, he's like, you guys sort it out. Deal with your attitudes and heaven waits. Just like the Holy Spirit waited when they're arguing at the Last Supper. Who's the greatest amongst them? Holy Spirit says, not time to come yet. They're still worried about who's the greatest amongst them. Why am I not up speaking? Why am I not on the worship team? Why do I not get to run the sound? Why don't I get to work in children's church? Yes, you can. Just want to throw out one possibility. When I think about unity, sometimes I get the feeling that it would be and it would be so much easier if we just took the lowest common denominator for unity. Just the bar so low that we can agree on one thing. But I don't believe that's what heaven wants. I believe heaven wants the highest common bar. Where, my friend, you have everything. You have a need, I'm in. How can I love you? How can I bless you? How can I stand with you? And I believe heaven is still looking this day to pour out Holy Spirit in an increased way upon mankind. But I believe he's looking for one thing, people with soft hearts, people with humble hearts, with tender, pliable, malleable hearts. He wants to bless. Holy Spirit can't help himself, but he will come and bless soft hearts and be with us. Not just a handful, we're a group of people decided to walk together. And this is not a pitch for Life Church. This is a pitch for how we live our lives. That's asking a lot. I know, it'd be a miracle. But I believe Holy Spirit is waiting to see. And because I believe unity in a group of people is a bigger miracle than seeing a person raised from the dead. Because the dead person doesn't have any say-so. But you have a say-so. I have a say-so. And how I want to walk out my life towards you. In Acts 2, I just want to read, at the end of Acts 1. I just want to highlight a quick little story and I'll conclude with this. Acts chapter 1, verse 21 to 26. This is Judas Iscariot has gone and passed away. Now there's only 11 apostles. And in Acts 1, 21, the disciples get together, the 11 remaining, and they make a decision. Acts 1, 21 through 26, and we touched on it last week. Therefore, it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they needed a replacement disciple. They needed a replacement apostle. Verse 23 of Acts 1. So they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabas, who's also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Lord, you know the hearts of all men. Show which one of these two you have chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. Verse 26. And they drew lots for them. And the Bible says, and the lot fell to Matthias. Matthias was chosen. And he was added to the 11 apostles. Seemingly, I don't know why, but that's how they chose to decide the 12th apostle, the 12th disciple. I don't understand, but that's okay. I don't need to. I'll get to that in Acts 13. That's a few weeks down the road. But the Holy Spirit had not fallen yet at that point in Acts chapter 1, as far as the accounting of it. But in verse 23, I just want to highlight this. In verse 23, it says that two guys were put forward. Joseph, called Barsabas, who is also called Justus. And I think maybe that was the disqualification right there. Maybe that's why they, hey, let's make sure that Matthias wins this. Give him the long straw. Joseph, who's also called Barsabas, who's also Justus. So is he Joseph? Is he Joe? Joey? Justus? Barsabas? It's too complicated. Make sure Matthias wins. It's easier. And it's a cool church name, too. Just ask down the road. Let's just do Matthias. He wins. Awesome. I wonder what happened to Barsabas. Do you ever read your Bible and you wonder? What happened to Barsabas? You could have been one of the apostles. Debbie, it could have been you. Can you imagine? You're one of Jesus' disciples, apostles. Your name is up in light, forever known. You're going to be in the Bible. Well, Barsabas did make it. Can you imagine being considered to be one of the apostles of the Lamb? Oops, you lost. I might question how they got there. Can we do best 2 out of 3? I mean, to be one of the apostles of the Lamb. You're going to be sitting up in heaven forever. I was one of the apostles. Actually, I think they're throwing their crowns very different in heaven. But I wonder what happened to Barsabas. Because right after that, there's 120 believers that are together. Is there anybody in this room, maybe, you've ever felt passed over by people, by life, by leaders? Anybody in this room, don't raise your hand, don't, raise your hand or a foot or your mom's arm. Don't raise hers. Has there in this room ever anybody been hurt by church? Ever been hurt by a church leader? Ever been hurt by a teacher, someone at work? Anybody ever been passed over for a job when it was clearly you were the right person for it? But Ed, I hope Ed's not here, Ed knew the boss and Ed got the job instead of you. And it was a $20,000, $30,000. It put him on a trajectory to be an executive within the company. And you got passed over because your name was wrong. You were Barsabas, Justice, Joe, Joey. Who are you? And they picked the other person. Anybody ever, that ever happened to somebody and you felt the injustice of it? Why are you picking the church leader? It's just a power broker. I'm not saying there's no church leaders like that that we've ever encountered. There's a lot of hurt going around still in society today. And there's a whole bunch of casualties that happen in church. And yet, I believe with all of my heart, because that was the last we ever heard of Barsabas. But you know what? His name is mentioned in the Bible. I would take that in most occasions. I believe with all of my heart that Barsabas was in the room of 120 people with Matthias, asking for the gift of the Holy Spirit to come, the promise that they spoke of in Joel. I believe with all of my heart that this man also had a soft heart. He's like, you didn't pick me. Matthias is probably a great choice. I'm glad for Matthias. Why? Because they're in one heart and one mind. And it was the end of who's the greatest, who's the best, why do they get chosen and not me? I think it was for these people in this day, it was the end of that, the end of selfishness. I believe with all of my heart, and it's just my fanciful notion that Barsabas was still in the room, happy and rejoicing for Matthias. I just believe it. So for me and for you, and going forward, for this church, now speaking about Life Church, we have an opportunity while we have breath in our bodies to do something amazing, something miraculous, something that earth is longing for. People that will actually love someone. Very different. Different personality, different background. They may be a Cubs fan, heaven help them. They're different, they're unusual, they're loud, they're quiet, they're introverted, they're opinionated, they know the Bible, they're always quoting it, they're always having their hand up front, they're always the first to everything. Oh, look, he's going to prophesy again. We never judge anybody. We're not that church. But people irritate us. Okay, not you. People irritate me, mostly in the car, but we're not doing that this morning. Here's a great measure of how I'm at with my soft heart. How am I reconciling my attitude towards people who irritate me, that are believers? The boss at work that's just selfish, ignorant, blah, 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 is not a believer. That's fine. But what about this guy who just irritates the snot out of me all the time? He's so annoying. This is what the Bible says. How can I love God who I can't see if I can't love you who I do see? How can I say I love him if I can't love you? People, we're so challenging. Micah 6:8 says this. Micah 6, chapter 8. The Bible says this. This is legitimately one of my top three scriptures in the entire Bible. And the Bible says this. He has told you or shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of me, of you? Three things. What does the Lord want from me? What heart motive, what heart motivation, what drive does he want inside of me? to do justice, to do what's right, especially when it's painful, especially when it hurts, to do justice, to do what's right. Second is to love kindness. In NIV, it says to love mercy, I believe it says. But I think the actual better translation of the word is kindness. And it doesn't say to be kind. It says to love kindness, to love it. Every opportunity, I have the opportunity to show kindness, I'm going to show kindness. It's easy. My wife is amazing. You all know, many of you know her. It's easy to be kind to her. I'm also a little afraid. But what about those people who irritate me? What about those people who bother me? Can I still express kindness towards them? Can I love it? Here's just a challenge for me and for you. In your own heart, this means don't raise your hand. In your own heart, just take a second. Is there somebody that just, and you can all choose Tom. It's a great name. Pick Tom. Is there somebody, just the way they sing, the way they talk, the way they walk, the way they, the car they drive, how they park or don't park, they just irritate you a little bit? A believer. Just think of that person. I thought 10, 20, trying to whittle it down. Kidding. Father, Holy Spirit, will you give me ideas, heaven's suggestions on how I can show kindness to that person, how I can love them genuinely from the heart? It might be a gift certificate at a restaurant. It might be an encouraging note. It might be I just tell them and go up and express, and don't do it immediately because now we're going to know. Timing's everything, people. Timing's everything. Father, how can I express kindness towards this human being made in your image that you died for and you love with everything in you? You love that person. Father, help me to love them. I want to show an act of kindness towards them. I want to express, Father, I'm going to love what you love, and I'm going to love who you love. I'm not going to speak any more bad about them behind the scenes. I'm not going to do what the Bible calls backbiting, which actually is a fairly beautiful descriptive word in a horrible way. It's biting someone's back. That's how I like to think of it. It just helps me. No, no, they don't even know that you're talking bad about them. But I know when the opportunity is like, did you see what they did again? It's almost like that commercial, blue hair. Blue hair just sticks, comes out of your mouth. The commercial's great. Father, I want unity all around me. I want, why? Because I covet the blessing of heaven. Holy Spirit, I want you. I want to hear you speaking to me in my dreams. I want to hear you speaking to me as I walk through my day. I want to hear you speak as I walk through the school. Lord, I want to hear your voice. Maybe heaven is waiting until I stop backbiting about certain people and waiting till I show and express love towards them. And then heaven comes. And the Bible says in Acts 2, Holy Spirit suddenly appeared. Lord, I want the suddenly. I want you in my midst. Father, set a guard over my mouth that I no longer judge the motives of that person. I'm going to repent from judging the motives of people. And I'm going to try and just focus on me. Help me, Father, assess my own motives. But I'm going to stop backbiting against believers. I'm going to stop speaking ill of them. So what am I supposed to do, Lord? I'm supposed to do justice, do the right thing. I'm supposed to love kindness. And the last is to walk humbly with my God. It's true unity. It's lofty unity. It's for us. And I believe with all of my heart, people, with everything in me, I believe heaven is waiting for my soft heart. Because he wants to come. It's his longing. When he sees brothers dwelling together, people dwelling together in unity, I believe Holy Spirit is on his tiptoes waiting. Yes, yes, he's right there. I'm in. Because he sees love and humility and kindness. It's not complicated. We are, but the process, the principle is not complicated. It's in our homes and our families and our relationships. It's in our church. And I believe, and I'll just say this last before one last announcement, it has to start somewhere. And maybe I need, in my family, I need to start expressing kindness more. We have a daughter. We have two daughters. And just recently, and neither one of our daughters, our sons are walking with God, our daughters are yet to come back to fully walk with Jesus. And one of my daughters, our daughters, recently sent a letter to me and a letter to Randy. Handwritten, old school. I know. Sent a letter to me, and she just wrote front and back how much she loves me. And it didn't have one of her brother's handwriting, you know, signed sister. She just wrote all the things that she appreciates about me. She sent something very personal to her mother. The letter was longer than mine. I'm not comparing. I just noted. Can I just say this? Love is best expressed at the start at home. Who's closest to you? Can you express the kindness of heaven? Heaven comes. The Holy Spirit is waiting for us to start expressing kindness and love. It's not complicated, but it does take effort. Who can I express kindness towards? Father, I pray that you would help me help us as a church family. Holy Spirit, we need you. We want you. We ask for you. An increased measure. We have you. I understand the theology. We have you. But Holy Spirit, we're waiting for a suddenly also. An outpouring that spills into the streets, just like Acts 2. Lord, we're looking for an outpouring that spills and splashes into the community around us. Where they come and say, what in the world is happening there? It's a foreign sound to them. It's a foreign look. Because Holy Spirit is so involved because he loves, heaven loves what Father, Son, and Holy Spirit see. I'll come and I want to join them in their meeting. May it be, Holy Spirit, help me to see me. No more backbiting, no more judging people's motives, no more speaking ill or feeling ill towards people. Help me, Lord, help me to love kindness, to do the right thing, and to walk humbly before you. Help us, Lord. Amen and amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.